If you are a teacher who's looking for a zero prep, highly engaging activity to do with your students literally this week, then you are in the right place. And this activity is perfect for all grade levels, all subject areas, and I highly recommend implementing it for a morning meeting, for an advisory, for a homeroom, or a social and emotional learning time. And I call this activity the classroom mystery box. That's right. The only thing that you need for this activity is a box, a bag. You are going to hide something inside of a box, and you are going to watch the most incredible, meaningful life lesson unfold right before your eyes. This is something that I like to do on a Thursday, and I call it a thrilling Thursday. And you're going to be thrilled as a teacher to listen to this idea in this episode, because by the end of it, you're going to be like, girl, I am ready to have 180 lessons like that with no prep, no extra stress. And that is going to be awesome for your teacher life. So if that is sounding like something you need at this point in the school year, oh, you're in the right place. Let's get into it.
There is awesome in every single school day. So here is the big question. How can teachers like us, who love our job, love our students, and love being a part of education, celebrate awesome even more in our classrooms and learning communities? Where can we find teaching tips and tricks? Where can we find engaging stories and motivational strategies? That is the question, and this weekly podcast is your answer. So welcome to all my teacher friends. My name is Monica Genta, and I am so excited that you are here listening to this podcast, This Teacher Life. The idea that is going to unfold in this episode is based off of the real vibes, the real feelings that we are experiencing at this point in the school year. And if I'm being honest, this idea was actually born out of frustration. So if you have noticed that your students are not turning in work, that there are holes in your gradebook, that the work that they're turning in is actually very low quality, and you are hitting midterm or the end of a quarter, and you're like, what an absolute disaster. How are we going to get this under control? Then this idea is for you, because I think some of the best ideas are inspired out of actually frustrating moments. And we can be mad about it, or we can leverage them for learning. And that's exactly what I want to talk about in today's episode. Because we were approaching midterm of our third quarter. And what we started to notice, especially in the upper grades of my elementary school, was that students had a lot of missing work. We actually printed out our reports from our grade management system, and there were holes. I'm talking like extra Swiss cheese holes in the gradebook. And it was one of these moments of like, how can we help our students? How can we support our students? How can we manage this? And so we created an incentive for students to get caught up, right? It was a frustrating moment. And instead of panicking, we pivoted to, well, let's reward students who are doing what they need to be doing and not penalize other students, but let's be proactive about getting them caught up so that we can have a really strong finish to the midterm of the quarter. And I think there's a really important piece that I want to focus on right there. In moments, we can panic or we can pivot. And we can say, like, students just need to get caught up. Put a zero in the gradebook. That'll get their attention. I understand. Those are all honestly, meaningful emotions. And I'm not always opposed to a zero in the gradebook as a communication tool. But if we are just going to put zeros in the gradebook and think that kids are going to learn something from that, I really do think that we've missed the mark. Because a lot of kids don't care about the zero, but they do care about spending quality time with their peers. They do care about a bonus recess where they can play dodgeball or limo. They do care about missing that quality time with their friends. So why don't we leverage that for learning? And what ended up happening in that situation was we announced it. Hey, we're going to have a special recess. We're going to do something really cool for students who are caught up. And the number of assignments went from nearly 100 missing to only a handful of kids needing to get caught up. And a lot of those were because of absences, not because of apathy towards the work. That is what can happen when we leverage positivity, when we leverage being proactive, and we also incentivize kids with something besides a grade. Now, I say all of that to lead us into an activity that you can do with your students on a social and emotional learning level. One of my favorite things that I love to bust out for an advisory, for a morning meeting, for an SEL time, is what I call the classroom mystery box. It can be a box, it can be a bag. As a science teacher, I used to do this with a beaker. But the whole thing is you hide something inside of the box that students do not know about. And then they have to use amazing communication skills, amazing collaboration skills to figure out, well, what's actually inside of the box? So I want to let the details unfold of exactly what I did for the Thrilling Thursday lesson for my advisory students. I had this frustration of, man, kids are not really caring about unfinished assignments, incomplete assignments. And I also have a great opportunity to be proactive and leverage an incentive. But are we understanding the emotions behind this? Because it's not just about holes in the gradebook. It's not just about, I don't want you to have these missing assignments. There's a deeper purpose here. And that's what that activity is about. So I hid something inside of the mystery box. And I went around the room and told every single student that they could ask one yes or no question. One question to help them figure out what is inside of the mystery box. And I told them they couldn't just say, is it this? It can't just be pure guesses like, is it a pencil? Is it a stick of gum? It cannot be direct things like that. They have to ask yes or no questions that are going to give them clues to help them figure out on what is exactly in the box. The goal is to accumulate a bunch of clues, and then as a whole class, they collaborate on what do we actually think is in the box. I love this activity because it combines so many essential life skills. We're talking communication, collaboration, connections with other students, synthesizing a lot of information to kind of niche down what could it be. It involves thinking outside of the box, literally. It involves so many different things that our kids need of all ages in order to actually use their brain and not just type something into ChatGPT, not just type something into their Chromebook. We have to be teaching life skills in order to get our kids ready and be successful for the future. And so this classroom mystery box is exactly that. Every student gets one yes or no question. They write down those clues and then they collaborate about, okay, so what's actually on the inside? So on this particular idea, I hid something and we started the questioning. We went around the room and kids were asking questions like, is it red? And so they started with colors and I said, no, it is not red. Another student said, is it black? And I said, oh, there is some black on this item. Somebody said, what about white? And I said, oh, there actually is quite a bit of white. So they kind of narrowed down some colors, and then we kept going around the room. It ended up being about 20 questions because there were 20 students present. And we kept cooking, and another kid said, like, is this something that I would need at home? And I said, this could end up at home. I think it would be better if it was at school, but I think it could be at home. And kids were like, oh, that's interesting. What could it be? Another student said, like, is this something that would be considered crafty? And I thought, oh, I kind of like this going in a different direction. And I said, no, it's not crafty. Then another student went incredibly specific. They said, would this be something that if I asked my parent if they knew what it was, that they would know exactly what it was? And I said, that's very specific. Are you sure you want to ask that? And they said, yes. And I said, I don't know if your parents would know about what is inside of the box. I think if they saw it, they'd be like, can't help you there. And that was really interesting because I am not allowed to lie to students during this. I know what's in the classroom mystery box, but I cannot lie about it. I have to give 100% honest, 100% open answers without giving too much information, without making it obvious. Now, depending on the grade level and the ability level of your students, you might have to give more open and more obvious clues if you're playing with a first grader as opposed to if you're playing with seventh or eighth graders, right? Like, you as the teacher are going to differentiate this based on the age and the ability level of your students. But that's why it's such a cool morning meeting, advisory, social and emotional learning, or homeroom lesson, because it is easy to adapt. It is easy to pivot this in a lot of different directions. So we continue going around the room. And students said, Ms. Shenta, are you going to ask a question? You said everyone in the room gets to ask a question. You're in the room. Do you get to ask a question? And I loved that. Okay. I love when students say something that is like, oh, they found a loophole, because they're not wrong. I did say everyone in the room gets to ask a question. And it is true. I am in the room. So instead of being like, that's unfair, I made the game, I said, game on. So I role played this and I said, okay, I'm going to pretend like I'm a student. If I brought this home to my parents, would they be happy with me? And I responded, no, they would probably be really disappointed. And they would say something like, why are you not trying? What's going on? And they loved that clue. And here you are listening to this. Here you are playing along, maybe. Do you have any predictions on what is in the classroom mystery box, just based off of the things that have happened so far? What do you think is in the classroom mystery box? Because we continue to go around the room, and one kid said, is there a lot of words on that? Whatever's on the inside, is there a lot of words on it? And I said, not a lot of words, but I sure wish there was something else. And some kids had the reaction of, what? And other kids had the reaction of like, oh, and I love that. I love as kids are hearing clues and synthesizing information that the classroom mystery box really starts to come alive. So once we got around the room and every single person in the room got to ask their yes or no question, then kids got to individually come up with, what do they think is in the box? And there are some remixes that you can do of this. It can be this conversation of, now that you have what you think is in the box, turn and talk with one other person at your table to see if you guys agree and decide on what is the best possible answer. It can also become a full group lesson. I'm going to set a timer for 5 minutes, and now you're all going to talk and agree and disagree and share ideas, if we were going to only come up with one answer for the whole class on what's in the mystery box, what do we think is the most probable or possible solution to this? Then you're incorporating lots of opinions, which can be difficult, but an important life skill. You are basically creating a consensus with the class, which you're going to get lots of opinions. It's going to be difficult to kind of sift through all of that. But again, a life skill that our kids need to have. And the way that I specifically did this on the day that I'm referring to, I had students work individually. I was kind of curious what they would come up with. And for whatever reason, kids got really stuck on school supplies. One kid predicted it was scissors. One kid predicted it was a bottle of glue. One kid predicted it was a pipe cleaner. And then there were a few students who said, I think it's a homework assignment. Some kids got a little more specific and said, I think it's a test. I think it's a quiz. And then one student out of the 20 went super specific and said, I think it's a missing assignment that currently has an F on it. So teacher friends, are you ready to find out what is in the classroom mystery box for our special social emotional learning lesson? If we open up the box and take out what is on the inside, drum roll, please. It's a incomplete math assignment. The item that was in the box was an incomplete math assignment. Students had doodles on it. A star, a rainbow, a smiley face, lots of question marks for these multiplication of fractions. One kid said 6, 7, LOL. That was their answer for multiplying two fractions. Two mixed number fractions are like 67, LOL. There was things on this assignment where they scribbled it out. Now, was this actually student work? No. But anyone who's a teacher knows that this is the kind of thing that does get turned in to us quite a bit. And it's just like, I'm not sure what to do with this. This is incomplete. And then we had a conversation because I was the one who filled out this incomplete assignment and they thought it was hilarious. They're like, Ms. Jenta, nobody would actually put 67 LOL. And I was like, as a teacher, I strongly disagree. We see that on papers all the time. Kids are like, there's no way people would be drawing rainbows and stars and smiley faces on their assignment. I was like, ooh, respectfully, professionally disagree with you on this. And it was such a cool thing to do, role reversal, for kids to see this is what incomplete looks like from our perspective. And then open up the conversation to, from your perspective as a student, why is this happening so much, especially at this time of the school year? Let's just have an open conversation. This is a safe space. Why are we seeing this so much right now? Teacher friends, do you see what happens when we gamify something as simple as we are frustrated about something? And we're going to get the conversation flowing and having some fun by taking that frustration of an incomplete assignment. And we are going to transform that into a really important catalyst for conversation. We want to decrease incomplete assignments. We want to increase your effort on these assignments. We want to decrease the number of Swiss cheese holes that we have in our gradebook. We want to increase the rigor of our classrooms. How can we talk this through and solve this problem? And it was an amazing conversation. Students started taking ownership. Students started talking about things that were holding them back. And I know that sometimes as teachers, we hear what is holding kids back and we think immediately, that's an excuse. Yeah, right. That, you guys, just be real. That's not the issue. However, something that came up that was so simple was that at this point in the school year, kids didn't have any stinking pencils. They were literally saying, like, we can't even complete our assignments right now because we can't find a pencil to save our lives. And wow, that feels like a cheap excuse. let's just say hypothetically that's true. We got a cabinet in the front office with 1,962 pencils. I can go grab 20 and give everyone a fresh pencil if that's the roadblock. If that's the roadblock, we're going to take that off the table. Okay? Another student said that they were just tired and they just were so over school. And I said, and I hear you, which is why we are setting up incentives to get your stuff done, turn in high quality work on the first try. And I bet you're not too tired to come and play knockout for an extra 40 minutes. Are you too tired for that? And you're like, well, no, I wouldn't be too tired to do that. And then I'm saying, okay, then we have to take ownership and take some of these things that feel like excuses off the table. Because if I just said, are you too tired to play knockout? And you're like, no, I want to go play knockout. Then it's not about being tired. And they're like, that's fair, Ms. Jenta. That's fair. You're right. You're right. And we just had an open and honest conversation. And the final piece to this was having the conversation of, why is it even important to end on a good note? Why is it even important when third quarter ends or fourth quarter ends, like, that we're ending on a good note? What does that mean? Why does that matter? And even if you're not doing this in third or fourth quarter, why is it just as important at the end of first quarter to start in a good note? Why does it feel different at the beginning of the year than at the end of the year? And the conversations that unfolded were amazing. And I'm going to tell you, I've done this in elementary settings, and it's been incredible. I've done this in middle school settings, and it's been incredible. I've done this in high school settings, and it's been incredible. Because this is a safe space to have real conversations, and it all comes from having the structure of a great lesson. I understand that social and emotional learning can feel like one more thing on our plate. I understand that a really good morning meeting or SEL advisory or homeroom time feels like, when the hell are we supposed to plan for that kind of thing? I hear you, which is exactly why the lesson that I just described comes from a template that I have already made. I know what I just described works because I have 180 lessons that are just like it, with different themes, with different messages, with different activities that are all paced perfectly for the different times of the year, the different emotions of the year, the different feelings and vibes that come on that ebb and flow from first quarter to fourth quarter. If you are looking for the right thing to get kids talking, to get kids motivated, to get kids having an open and honest conversation, this is exactly the type of thing that I'm talking about. And I have 180 fully planned lessons for you. Legit. No cap, as the kids say. I have a 180-day full elementary curriculum and a 180-day full middle school and high school curriculum. You would not have to plan another lesson ever again for this type of time block in your school day. And they are super engaging, just like the Classroom Mystery Box. They have different themes for every day of the week. The one that I have described in this episode is actually from Thrilling Thursday. This is something where you can remix it, but it's not just throwing random shit in a box and calling it a day. There has to be a deeper message. There has to be a different meaning. If we're just constantly playing games and watching videos and saying, check, morning meeting, that was successful, I think we are honestly taking the easy way out. Just because we're turning on a YouTube thing or just because we're doing some sort of activity doesn't mean it's meaningful. Social and emotional learning doesn't mean we're actually getting kids college, career, and life ready. Sometimes it means we're just checking a box. And I don't want to just check a box. I want us to think outside of the box with things. And so that is why I've created this full curriculum based off of the things that I've just described in this episode. The mystery box with the unfinished or missing assignment being one of them. The directions are there. The questions are there. Everything that you need to have a really successful lesson. And that is what this is all about, creating opportunities for kids to have meaningful moments. If you want to check out the curriculum that is based off of what I just described in this episode, you can go to monicagenta.com/180SEL. That's Monica, GENTA.com/180SEL, as in social and emotional learning. I'm also going to put a direct link for that in the show notes. This is one of these things where you could have your entire morning meeting or advisory block fully planned for the rest of your career by engaging in these types of lessons. Again, monicagenta.com/180SEL. You can find everything you need for your elementary, middle school, or high school SEL homeroom time block. I hope that you try this idea out. I hope that it creates just the space for kids to talk, but also fills in those empty spaces on maybe the unfinished or low quality work for wherever you're at in your school year. I want you to have the most amazing day every single day at school. And I think it happens better when we are celebrating 180 days of awesome, especially on a social and emotional learning level, which is exactly why I named the curriculum 180 Days of Awesome SEL, because that's exactly what it is. I want to thank you so much for listening to this episode, for trying new things with students, but most importantly, thank you for living this teacher life.